Matzah Shabbos, December 15th, 2007, Psag Torah Institute, Lessons to Live By, given by Rabbi Avraham Shulman.
Gavach. Welcome to the Shia Parshas, Matzah Shabbos Parshas Ve'igash. This past week is Yemesh Hanukkah, and upcoming week, Wednesday, will be Asar B'Teves. So we're going to try tonight to combine a little bit about Hanukkah and Parshas Vayigash and also what's going on in Asar B'Teves. So we'll leave it along connection between the three and what we're supposed to get out of all these days. Okay, so if you have a question or comment, you please feel free to ask. So every Yontif, let me just say beforehand, refreshments are sponsored for Refuah Shleima, for Elisheva Bashena. If you want to help in the refreshments, well, let me know. And also the Shia sponsored Re'iloi Nishmas for the Gokol family. Okay. So we just finished the Yontif of Hanukkah. And every Yontif, you're supposed to try to get something of a certain avod of that particular yontif. So, for example, on Pesach, a person is supposed to relive what it means that you were taken out of Mitzrayim and a certain akaras hatov of the nishan that happened there. And on Sukkot, a person is supposed to appreciate how HaKadosh Baruch Hu shelters us. What that means is that when you're finished with that particular yontif, there should be a certain growth in your ruchnius and your appreciation of that yisod in Yiddishkeit. So after Sukkot, I should, in some sense, spend that yontif rejoicing, and the Sukkot is the yontif of Simcha, and I should have a Simcha in my Avodas Hashem, and I should also have a great appreciation that Kadosh Baruch Hu shelters me, and I rely on Him. I don't rely as much on, you know, physical shelter. That's the Avodah for Sukkot. So in Chanukah, clearly also, we're supposed to have a particular Avodah we should take out of the yontif. And this is a difficult thing sometimes that we have in different mitzvos, that you're supposed to accomplish a certain task in the mitzvah, and it's supposed to affect in you a certain aliyah in Avodas Hashem, but as soon as you're done, you forget about it. Probably the best example, Shmon Esrei. So Shmon Esrei, you're standing, you're not allowed to walk dalamos in front of a person who's davening Shmon Esrei, because we understand, Allah tells us that the Shechina is in front of the person you daven, so you can't walk dalamos in front of the person. So you're standing in front of the Shechina, and then, I'm not excluding myself, 1 second, you finish one Esrei, and you turn to your friend. Oh, what time are you going today? Okay, I got a ride with you. And that's not even something that's so, you know, inappropriate for a shul. That's a conversation that might be mutter in a shul. Maybe, you know, something might be a mitzvah, maybe. But a second later, you just did with Hashem a second ago, and you can turn it off just like that. So that's something we have to work on, that the effect of mitzvah should not leave us that quickly. So in Chanukah, What's the essence of the yontif? So as we discussed, it was Shabbos for Motzei Shabbos before Chanukah. The essence of the yontif is L'Hodos U'Hallel, to have a form of thanksgiving and Shevach Hashem, as opposed to Purim, which is Mishpat V'Simcha. The Iker of Chanukah is L'Hodos U'Hallel, to find thanksgiving. So, you know, in a certain sense, Chanukah is the yontif of the Jewish form of thanksgiving. We're supposed to come away with that. So we're supposed to try to have a little bit more appreciation of the Nisan that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does for us. So we're all familiar with the famous Kasha of Beis Yosef. And I'd like to share with you a nice answer to this Kasha, maybe you haven't heard before, which I think could be a takeaway message for us from Chanukah. So we all know that Beis Yosef is the famous Kasha. Why is Chanukah licht, so we light the menorah 8 days? Really, the nace is only 7 days, because the first day wasn't a nace, because they found the oil and they lit it, and okay, so the oil burnt, and 7 days is a nace. Famous Kasha, and we've all heard many, many truths into this Kasha. One answer I'd like to share with you, I think, is a takeaway message for Chanukah is as following. Maral suggests the following idea. He says, what happened in the first day when they found the oil? So they lit the menorah and the oil burned. So we look at that as something as derech hateva, that's normal, that's nature. But if you think about it, that in itself is miraculous. If you take a cup of water and you put a lick on it and you try to light it, even if you get a spark for 1 second, it'll be immediately singed and extinguished by the water. If you take most other liquids, a juice or anything else, it's not going to burn. Liquids normally douse a fire. But certain liquids, oil or other things, are flammable, and they're used as fuel. So what is it that in nature that some substances are fuel, they are combustible, they help things burn, while other things extinguish fire? I don't know if there's a scientific explanation or not. And certainly if there is, they could tell you what the chemical nature of these substances are. But they couldn't tell you why they're that way. Because Baruch Hu put an amazing thing in the Bria, the two things that are extremely similar, one extinguishes and one lights. They're opposite, complete opposite. So Maral points out, that's why Hanukkah is 8 days, because it's really a nis in and of itself, the way nature works, that Teva is a nis, and we have one day to appreciate that. So I think this answer, it's well-known teretz, that maybe that's the takeaway message of Hanukkah, to appreciate the everyday nisim in our life, that's our avodah for Hanukkah, now that we're not that many days removed, Tuesday night, you're lighting a candle, and Wednesday was the last day of Hanukkah, here on Motzei Shabbos, to try to have, as we go through the rest of the year, a little bit of extra hodah v'hala for the everyday things in our life. Let me give you a little muscle. So, this has happened to me, I'm sure to you as well. It's a simple example. Baruch Hashem, we should all be in good health, and Hashem should bless us that we should feel good. But a person can sometimes get a little bit of a minor injury. Let's say, you twist your back, and you get a little hurt there, whatever it is, you have a pulled muscle, a pinched nerve, whatever it is. Now, a person in this muscle is completely healthy. You just suffered this minor injury. What happens? You wake up the next morning. Well, first of all, you didn't sleep so well that night. You're tossing, you're turning, you couldn't find a good position, because if you turn this way, it hurt, you turn this way, it hurt, the bed was too soft, the floor was too hard, and you couldn't really sleep very well. Okay, and then you wake up the next morning, you try to put on your shirt. Like, you lift your arm, all of a sudden, to put the shirt on, and there's this sharp, knifing pain that goes through the back, and you're trying to put your shirt on. Okay, now you got the shirt on, and you get out to the car, to get going in the morning, and all of a sudden, you know, depending on how large your car is, if you have to step up or step down, but to position yourself into the car, it's all of a sudden extremely difficult, and you know, if someone would see you, they would start laughing. Now, you have to think about that particular circumstance. What does it mean, that person? That person, every single day of their life, until they twisted their back, they put on their shirt, they slept at night, they got into the car, they didn't have any pain, that meant that they were healthy, Baruch Hashem, their back felt good, all the muscles, the vertebrae, the nerves are all working well. And not only that, even on that day, when they're having all these problems and they can't move well, how many other systems in the body are working well? The circulatory system, the respiratory system, the digestive system, the neurological system, what every single part of the body that's working well, and they can see, they can hear, they can eat, they can go to the bathroom, happens to be that of the systems in the body, one little thing is going wrong. So it's something to appreciate, and the Svarim writes tremendous about this. Every day in our lives, we'll hold this little hallel. You know, and we look at Teva, this is really the Maharal's message, there are, Teva itself is amazed. The fact that a man and a woman get together and a child can be born, it's innate. Do they know how to create a child? It's innate. The Gemara says, a famous story in the Gemara about a fellow with Lamashal who never saw how somebody makes cake or bread. So he sees a farmer and he goes and he grows this beautiful field of wheat stalks and the guy cuts it all off. He says, what are you doing? He's cut the whole thing down. It's terrible. It's growing great. He says, trust me, it'll be good. So he gets all these nice kernels. Wow, okay, I see why that you did that. Must be for this. Takes the kernels, grinds them up into flour. What are you, nuts? That's a bunch of dust. Trust me, it'll work out. Takes the flour, puts in mortar dough. I saw what you did. That was good. Takes the dough, puts it in a burning hot oven. You're crazy. Comes up, right? That's the Gemara, famous Gemara. That's amazing. Who would think that from this kernel, you can get flour, you can get cake, you can get bread, and you get a staple of life. So this is a takeaway message from Hanukkah. That we can have of Lahodus Ulahalel, that every day in Teva to appreciate HaKadosh Baruch Hu in our life. And you should learn Svarim about this if possible. The Chavos Halvot Shah Bechina is really maybe the best place to learn these matters. And if you don't learn this Svarim, to try to have in your davening, we say every day in Modim, what does it say there? Achayinam Simidecha, V'yal Mishra Sinim Kuros Lach, V'al Nisecha Shebechol Yom Imanu. So what does it mean there? What does it mean, Al Nisecha Shebechol Yom Imanu? It means that there are needs in the sun, hidden miracles that happen to you every day. You're saying it. Al Nisecha Shebechol Yom Imanu. Achayim Simidecha, Nisecha Shebechol Yom Imanu. V'yal Nisecha V'tov Nisecha Shebechol Eitz Erev Boker Tzorayim. The Niflos. The Farshim explain, Nisim refers to hidden miracles every day that we don't realize, hidden miracles. And the flows means in Teva, nature, the things that we're speaking about now. So when we daven, we should appreciate these things. This is the takeaway message for Hanukkah, and we'll see in the rest of this year, it'll tie into the Parsha and Sarbatavis as well. So if you look in the Parsha, so you guys will turn to the Parsha for a minute, and I'd like to discuss with you a well-known problem, which there are many answers to. I'd like to focus on one answer. The well-known problem is as follows. We read in the Parsha of the reunion of Yosef and his brothers, and of course, once the brothers and Yosef were reunited, and the dramatic meeting of Yehuda with Yosef, and they come together, Yosef can no longer hold back, so of course, they're sent for Yaakov to come down to Mitzrayim. So, when Yaakov comes down to Mitzrayim, Kadosh Baruch Hu tells him, don't be afraid, I'll see you, Yaakov, you should go down, it'll be good for you. The Torah then lists for us all the Bnei Yaakov that come to Mitzrayim. And it counts them, lists their name and counts them. So we read Perek Nevav, Pasuk Tazmav, Ela Bnei Leah, Shal Yaldu LeYaakov V'Padan Aram. These are the children of Leah who were born to Yaakov and Padan Aram. These Dina Vito and Dina his daughter. Kol Nevesh, Bada Benoza, Shloshim V'Shalosh. The total tally, the number of the children of Yaakov from Leah is Shloshim V'Shalosh 33. Okay, and then later on, in the end of the parasha, totals them at 70. All this thing went down. We know Shivan Nefesh, the Haggadah, the famous phrase, Shivan Nefesh, Yod HaMitzrayim. We went down 70 people into Mitzrayim. What problem? Problem is, as Rashi points out, right, he often knocked on the spot, that there are only 32. If you count the children of Leah, there are only 32. So, certainly the Torah can't make a mistake. In this regard, it's patently obvious what the count is. Any simple person can count it up. Especially, you know, we're good with numbers here. We don't make mistakes like that. So what is the number 33 when we really only 32? So there are many, many answers. I'll share with you five answers. I saw other answers as well. Here are the general approaches to this question. Some say, who was not counted? Everyone agrees that there was someone here missing. So there was a child born of the union of Dina and Shechem. But that child was not someone that the Torah wanted to write. That was a terrible event. That was something very negative, and the Torah didn't want to, you know, point that out and highlight that fact. What occurred with Dina and Shechem, there was a son who was born to Dina and Shechem, and that was the 70th, that was the 30th period, and that's the children of Yaakov and Leah. That's one approach. Okay. Another Mahalach, another Teretz. I saw this, the Nesiv suggests this, that Reuven counts too. It was Reuven the Bechor. So Reuven is the Bechor, he's still the Bechor at this point. So we know the Bechor gets P-Shine gets double. So when you're counting up, just like, you know, Yosef is going to be divided to Menashe and Ephraim, right? How the 12 Shvatim. The lady doesn't count. Yosef counts as two. So this precedent for that, Yosef counting as two. So here's the Reuven counts as two. That's the 33. Another Teretz. Another well-known Teretz people suggest is that the 33rd figure, the 33rd number, represents the Shekhinah, represents the Kadosh Baruch Hu, which is important, because it's telling us that the Kadosh Baruch Hu went down with him to Mitzrayim, which is the Pesukim right before this. Right before this, Hashem says to Yaakov, I'll be with you, you go down to Mitzrayim. So, this represents the Shekhinah. Why count it into Bnei Leah? Because Levi is the one whose nachala, his inheritance is that with Hashem. So the Shekhinah counted on Levi. Okay, those are the three truths. Now we're going to focus on the next two answers. The Gemara in Bava Basra, Daf Kuf Hakim and Aleph, tells us that the person here in Rashi quotes this, that this was Yocheved. Yocheved is counted as the 33rd and it makes the number 70. Okay, so why is it a secret? So right, Yocheved, why not here? So the Gemara says like this, and Rashi quotes it, that she was born Bein Achomos. What does that mean? That means Horasa, she was conceived on the way down to Mitzrayim, and she was born as they're entering into Mitzrayim. And that's why it says here, the Lashem Hashal Yolda Oso Levi B'Mitzrayim, Leidasa B'Mitzrayim, and Horasa B'Mitzrayim. Right? So when it counts that she was born by Yocheved, she was born to Levi Mitzrayim, it's a miut. Yoldasa B'Mitzrayim, she was only born in Mitzrayim, but she was born right there on the way. The conception, Horasa was being a chomos on the way down to Mitzrayim. So it's Yocheved. So the Torah hints at it, because you can't really say she went down. At the same time, in some sense, the fetus of Yocheved, which was in the stomach of her mother, did go down in that sense. So that's Yocheved's family. Now, if you do a little simple math, there's a big problem. Problems as follows. Bnei Yisrael Mitzrayim redu 210 years when Moshe Rabbeinu led them out of Mitzrayim, he was 80 years old. Okay? So that means, from now until the time Moshe Rabbeinu will be born, will be 130 years. They're going down, they're going to be there for 210. Moshe is going to leave when he's 80. That's 130 years until he will be born. The genealogy is Levi, right? Yocheved. Now, Yocheved happens to marry Amram, who's from the next door, but he was Amram's aunt. So it's Levi, Yocheved, Moshe. No one in between. That would make Yocheved 130 years old when Moshe was born. It's a famous point. Now, you can say, okay, this can happen all the time. The only issue is that when Sarah gave birth at 90, the Torah seemed to make quite a big deal about that, and that was something that's noted very much in Parshas Lech Vayera, the whole story of Hashem Pakar Sarah and Vayera, that she was remembered, she gave birth, and she promised that she would have a child at the end of Lech Lecha. So, how do we understand Yocheved gives birth at 130? So Ben Ezra says, this can't be true. It's not a pshat. The Gemara means what it means, that's an agarata, that's not a derech pshat. So what Ebenezer says, no, not Yocheved. If Yocheved gave birth at 130, the Torah would list it. That would be a nace. Come on. It's impossible. It didn't happen that way. That the Gemara means something else. Who's the 70th person, says Ebenezer? Yaakov. And he shows through the psukim that Yaakov is counted. He looks in the beginning of Shmos, because the beginning of Shmos says, Eva Shmos Bnei Yisrael, Bama Tzayma, so Yaakov's included. Shmos Bnei Yisrael, Yaakov is included. Ramban, and some Achorim agree to Ebenezer also. Rashi doesn't seem to agree. This is Ramban takes Ebenezer to task. Now watch this. He says, this is a great point, Ramanoshach, I don't understand you, Ebenezer. So you say that Yocheved didn't give birth at 130? There's a hard, cold fact we can't get around right now. What's the hard, cold fact? That Levi had a daughter named Yocheved, and Yocheved had a son named Moshe. Moshe left Mitzrayim 210 years after Levi came down. Now you can make his mother however old you want when she was born, but there has to be a time period of 210 years that will pass until they leave Mitzrayim. So the only other alternative is to make Levi 200 years old when he gave birth to Yocheved, if you want to say that. So that'll be just as big a name. So Ravan points out, it's a short question, I'm going to get around it, right? Either Levi is really old or Yocheved is really old. So whatever you're going to say, there was some kind of nace here. So this is Ramban's question on Ibn Ezra. So which leads us to a major, major yisod of the Ramban. And we're going to learn from here, and we'll see the connection is going to be our theme for tonight a little bit. So we're going to talk about Nisim, the role of Nisim, the role of miracles in the Torah and our life as well. So Ramban says the following yisod. He says that really the Torah is full of Nisim. Nisim left and right. The only Nisim the Torah tells us and records us are those that were said by a Navi or a Malach, like when the Malachim come to tell Sarah and Avraham Avinu what will occur, and it's part of the events of the Torah. But if something occurred to characters in the Chumash, and it wasn't relevant as part of the story that it's telling us that we should learn from future Doros, the Nisim happen all the time. It's only if it was something that was an announcement as a foreshadowing of an event that would happen, prediction, that the Nes, the Torah writes it for us. Or, obviously, those things that were the tzorech of the story of Klal Yisrael. But it doesn't list every Nes. That's his yesod. That's what he says. The Torah only lists those things that happen when they're announced ahead of time. But a Nes that just happens by the way, and it doesn't matter, the Torah's not going to list. And he proves this from several places. He shows throughout Navi and Tanakh, there are other Nesim that happened. One example I'll tell you, he says, just very quickly, that from the time the Bnei Yisrael entered into Eretz Yisrael, till the time that David HaMelech was born, 370 years. So you have another problem. Only four people, four generations of people. Salmon, Boaz, Oved, Yishai. 370 years, and David is born. So you just do simple arithmetic, and you do the average. They're each about 370 into 4. You know, 90 years old will give you 360. So they each at least 90. You know, so say one was 120, one was 70, but they're very old giving birth. So he says, and there are many examples, another famous one just to appreciate this, because it's always bothered me. Everyone knows the famous Medrash, it's Blessed Am Targum and Yonasan Ben Uziel, that Pinchas is Eliyahu. It's like a very important idea. You see Machshav everywhere, Pinchas is Eliyahu, and he's coming around. Pinchas lived forever. Pinchas is one of the miraglim that Yeshua sends. He comes up later in Eliyahu, and you see the connection. It's such an important idea. Soon you mention it, that Pinchas never died. It doesn't matter, Ramban. It doesn't matter. It's a nice, and who needs to know about it? Then he says, here's your yesod. He says, and why should the Torah tell us these things? Because if you understand the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world and the whole existence of Klal Yisrael, you understand the entire existence of Klal Yisrael is not teva, it's not natural. He says, for example, why should any person receive an onus in this world? A person does an Aveira, so if you're just running by the laws of nature, why would a Rasha die suddenly? Or if Bnei Yisrael don't keep the mitzvot, so how would it work out that all of a sudden they're kicked out of Eretz Yisrael, the Mitzvot is destroyed? If you work through Shemitah, the rain should stop. He says, all the Schar Onus in the Torah are all Nisim. A person davens and they get answered. That's a mace. He says, all the tefillos that we have are Nisim. He says, the entire existence of Klal Yisrael is a mace. So therefore, all around us there are Nisim. This is our first category of Nisim that I wanted to discuss with you tonight. That we see that, as we mentioned, like Hanukkah, that there's Nisim in Teva, natural things, right? Just normal things that occur, that oil burns, that bread is baked, that a child is born. They're miraculous, certainly in some sense. But the second type of Nisim Ban says is one that you don't read about. Well, you only hear about in the Torah, but it's there. But that's everything. So the Torah's going to list for us. So don't ask any kashas. So that's this. Now, what about, though, we have some work ahead of us. What about those Nisim that are mentioned in the Torah? What is their function? What is their purpose? And I'm going to ask you a question. Be careful if you want to answer before you answer. Nothing will happen. I'm just saying, think about it carefully. Okay, here's a question I'll ask you. So a lot of times we have problems, we're thinking in Amunah, something happens to us, we question certain events, is the Kadosh Baruch Hu really behind this? Is he seeing it? Is he listening to me? So all of us probably at one point in our life have thought the following. You know what would be amazing? Right now, a Navi will walk in here. I don't even need a Navi. A holy tzaddik who's alive today will tell him we need something. He'll perform a nace. It'll happen, and that's it. I mean, I'll never have any shahals ever again. No question. My davening, if you thought you're going to see kavana from now on, mitzvot, that's it. So Hashem, just show me an ace, and I'll be a minan, like you never saw before. I'll be, you know, on the holiest, holiest level, the tzaddikim, I'll be a minan, Hashem, kulo, kulo, that's what I want to happen. So I'm sure everyone has had such a thought. So here's the question. If that would happen, if someone really needs something, and they would appear to them to have what we would call a nace migla, an open, revealed miracle, so should my emunah change one iota in any way? Should that help me? Should it be a positive thing? Say, wow, nace migla occurred, so clearly Hashem is behind it. So whatever questions I had in faith, I have no more questions anymore. I'm total mind of Hashem. I don't need to have any sekus. That's it. I'm not going to put anybody on the spot. But the Rambam has a very, very clear mahal, very clear approach to how one should view these things. Okay? It's worth looking at. I'm not going to read the whole thing for the sake of time. But it's very important and very, very clear. Everyone could understand it. The Rambam, Hilchos Yesodei Torah, right, the first section in the Rambam, Perchas. Okay? So here's what the Rambam says. I'll give you the highlights. Very important. It says the Rambam, Bnei Yisrael did not believe in Moshe Rabbeinu because of the signs he performed. Why? Here's the answer. Shehamaymin al pi haosos yesh pelibo dofi. Someone who believes because of signs in your heart, there's certain questions, there's certain doubts. What's the question? You tell me what's the question. Okay. You see a magician? You believe the tricks? Can the rabbit really come out of the hat? How do you know not? Right? It must be some kind of a trick. You know, when I was younger, that really always really bothered me. Like, when I see Majid, it was almost frustrating. Like, what? How are you doing it? Because there's some trick, you know, you want to, like, see it and try to catch them. Sometimes the magicians who aren't as professional, the kids do catch them. It's not a pretty sight. You have Yesh Talib Adolfi. There's a certain question, a certain doubt, right? Oh, a big mace, right? Well, I'm sure there was some kind of a sleight of hand, a trick, a hologram, whatever it may be. You have used some keys to block magic, whatever it may be. Right? It could even really be an ace, right? But I have a doubt about it. So Yasa Os Balat, the Kisha Rambam says he did through some trickery or witchcraft. So rather, now this is a line that I spent many years thinking about. The Rambam formulates this in a way that seems to me need a little clarification, because it seems to be he's almost downplaying all the nisim that happened in the Torah. What's in this language? Kama Oso Shrasa Moshe B'Midbar, Lefiat Sorech Hassan. All the signs of Moshe B'Midbar He did it because it was a tzorach. They needed it. Now, this is very, very powerful. Not to bring any raya about his prophecy or Hashem. It wasn't in the list. He needed to drown the stream in the sea. Karas Hayam. Let's leave them both. So they split the sea and they all drowned in it. That's pretty strong, because we always learn, and we'll talk about this in a minute, Kriyas Yamsuf, by Amin of Hashem Moshe Avdo, that they had a greater level of Amun after Kriyas Yamsuf. Not only that, he needs food, that's what Hashem do, to the Rabbam, to bring mud. Okay? They're thirsty, hit the rock, speak to the rock, hit the rock, water comes out. Korach rebels, Earth should swallow them up, and they'll die. Right? Now again, could have asked me, I would have said, why does the Torah say, by Korach, the Moshe was told, tell them you'll have a Briah Chadash you never saw before, let Korach just drop dead. Let him, poof, disappear in thin air. Until now I thought there was a message from the niece of the earth swallowing of Korach Vada also. That there was a message from the mon providing for them. That the Torah actually hints to that, almost says it. Sefer Devarim, when it recalled the mon Hashem provided for them in the Midbar, food that you, lo ra'a v'stach, your fathers didn't see, but you got it. Kriyas Yamsuf also seemed to be. The Rambam says all these things were only because they were hungry, they happened to have a lake in front of them, and they needed to cross through, so it was out of convenience. Imagine you have a traffic jam, and you need to get somewhere in time, so miraculously, there's some kind of a splitting of the cars away, and you drive right through, easy pass the whole way through. That's what it sounds like. So Rambam says, that's what the Nisim are for. If that's the case, why do we believe in the Kodesh Baruch Hu, if it's not from the Nisim? Says the Rambam, this is of utmost, can't be more important. What we believe, the Ma'amid HaSinai, we believe because of the events of the revelation of Mount Sinai, that our eyes saw, and that at HaSinai, the voice of Hashem was heard, and there was an experience of the revelation of God Himself. And the Kol Medaber Elof, we heard from Moshe from Kodesh Baruch Hu. And as it says, with their panim upon him, Dibeshu Mechem, face to face Hashem spoke to you. So Rambam says that HaSinai is the raya to the proof of Moshe Nevuah, Moshe Rabbeinu's prophecy forever and ever. Now let me clarify here. What Rambam says that in Halacha Beis, we still have to answer the question though, is that the purpose of Maimon HaSinai was to establish Moshe Rabbeinu as the Navi, the prophet of all time, and that he was the one who gave the Torah to Klal Yisrael. That was the purpose of Maimon HaSinai. So it doesn't necessarily mean that the Nisim beforehand were important, but that was the function of Maimon HaSinai. And with this, the Rambam says, you can understand something else. What happened when the Kadosh Baruch Hu came to Moshe Rabbeinu and told him, I want you to take the Jewish people on the Mitzrayim. So Moshe take the job? One of the most difficult chapters, stories in the Torah. The whole dialogue in Parsha Shmos with Moshe Rabbeinu and Kadosh Baruch Hu will happen in 2 weeks. So Moshe says, no, thank you, get somebody else, I'm no good, maybe ask Aaron, I can't talk, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Then Moshe finally says, well, they won't believe me if I go. What's your name? What should I tell them? So Kadosh Baruch Hu gives them signs, right? So those signs, like the tricks. You put his hand in, comes out to the house. Put it back in, comes out good. Throw the stick in the ground, right, turn it into a snake, blood. Aren't those also signs? The Rambam himself says, if you look in the psukim carefully, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says over there, those are only temporary. Because until Tavtu and the Selakim, until you come and worship me on this mountain, that was HaSinai, where the little sheep got lost, right? That's when they'll believe in me. But until then, they were temporary signs. That's a very important assumption from there. That Klal Yisrael were not expected to have full and moon of full belief in Kadosh Baruch Hu without some kind of a sign, but those signs were not really sincere signs of belief. Maimon HaSinai would be the ultimate one. So that's what the Rambam writes here. That's why I believe in Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevuah. Therefore, any Navi who follows Yeshua, Shmuel, Yoel, Elisha, who perform many Nisim, right? Many Nisim the Navim perform. Yeshua and Yericho and in Gilgal, the sun stands still, and Elisha revives the boy, and Eliyahu as well. All these Nisim, mamish, amazing Nisim, says the Rambam, they wouldn't prove anything to us. If it was only for those miracles, I wouldn't believe in those Navim. I believe in those Navim because they are direct in a chain of a Mesorah from Moshe Rabbeinu. But the prophecy that we believe in because of Moshe Rabbeinu is the cause of Maimon HaSinai. That's what Amun is based on. So the answer to our question is, Should we believe a Navi who'll walk in and should change our moon according to the Rambam? Not at all. Those miracles are not anything. They were done because they were needed. Moshe Rabbeinu, that's what we believe in, and the Nevi'im after us believe because of that. That's what Ram says, we don't believe based on miracles, we believe because Kadosh Baruch Hu gives the Torah and Sinai. That's what Ram is based on. However, the Rambam himself certainly doesn't discount the Nisim in the Torah, right? For example, Yetzias Mitzrayim. Yetzias Mitzrayim is one of the mitzvos that we spend a lot of time on. Every kid is every day in Shema, twice a day, morning and night. Pesach, Tefillin, Mezuzah. We're constantly saying, Zeichel Yetzias Mitzrayim. What's Yetzias Mitzrayim? Why remembering that? The main idea of Yetzias Mitzrayim suggests the Chinuch, the Rambam, number one, Chidush Olam, that Kadosh Baruch Hu created the world, if not an eternal world, which is what Aristotle said. Number two, that there's Hashgach in the world, that God intervened. That's what Yetzias Mitzrayim is so important. So what's the Rambam say? The Yetzias Mitzrayim, it was also just because the Egyptians need to be punished. So give them a little blood, a little lice, a little hail, throw in, you know, some grasshoppers and locusts, we'll stir up the pot, make it interesting. So clearly what are they for? So it says itself in the beginning of Parshas Kol, Man Shi Si Yosai Yer B'Kirbo. This is for us. I should show my signs in you. And listen to the beginning of Parshas Kol. U'Raman T'Saper Ba'Azmei Bimchei T'Asher Salat Mitzrayim. We should tell our children. That's the Persi Mitzrayim. So the Rambam's telling us that we don't believe based on miracles. Those are just for necessity. We believe based on the fact that we stood at Sinai and received the Torah, and we are descendants of that Masorah. But nevertheless, the Nisim of the Torah, what purpose does it serve? So I want to explain in the following fashion. There are some Nisim that were to accomplish a certain task, a certain purpose. Let's take the Mun, for example. So while the Mun certainly taught Klal Yisrael a lesson, but, you know, 4 years in the desert, you need something to eat. So Hashem provided them some food. They learned from that. We learned that Hashem provides you sustenance, but that was for necessity. There are other Nisim that are in the category of Giloy Shechina, the revelation of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Meaning, it's not something that a Navi merely performs, but it's something that a Kadosh Baruch Hu reveals to us part of His essence. So in Yetzias Mitzrayim, that's what was taking place. That's what the Torah means. Hashem says, Amich Basis Lei Farav Is Lei Vodav. I'm going to stop the show now. I can just let you all out. But I have to show the world and Klal Yisrael something for eternity. I have to show you. Hashgacha, Kadosh Baruch Hu is involved in the world. The world has a Ribono Shel Olam, there's a creator. So these are things that are not just miracles, they're revelation of Kadosh Baruch Hu, and that's what our Sinai is as well. So the Rambam certainly would agree to that. And based on this, you can explain the Pasuk in the Torah, V'Aminu B'Hashem Moshe Avdo. What does it mean? So they came to Kriyas Yamsuf. And then it says, now we believe in Hashem and Moshe and his servant. So the Medrash says, the Zohar says, until now they didn't really believe, and until now they didn't really fear Hashem. So what does that mean? What does that mean? You just came out of Mitzrayim, just had Ephemakos, and that wasn't enough. So that wasn't belief. We're saying tonight that that's a revelation of Hashem. It's not just a nice trick. That's really seeing the Yad Hashem. The Beis HaLevi, in the beginning of Bereishis, has a beautiful explanation of this. Says there's three types of fear. Okay? You have a mitzvah, one of the six kinds of mitzvahs, to fear Hashem. Now how does one think of fear? Let's look at it in human terms. So you could fear somebody who's bigger than you, stronger than you, has power over you. Take away the gun, take away the stick, take away that position. I'm not going to even say hello to you. You're not nice to me, you're mean to me, you're threatening me, I'm not going to have a relationship with you. The reason I'm obeying what you're asking me is because you have power over me. Right? That's what we call Yiras Omish. In simple terms, you're afraid of the patch. You're afraid that something bad will happen to you. So when my boss asks me to do something I think is demeaning and terrible, but I listen because he can fire me. When a criminal threatens you and asks for your wallet, you don't start having negotiations because he can injure you. But normally you would never listen to either of those requests. So that's one vision of Yiras Hashem. But the Beis HaLevi calls that Yiras Onesh, a very well-known idea. That's obviously not an advanced level, sophisticated level. It means the only reason you're serving Kadosh Baruch Hu is because you're afraid what could happen if you don't listen. Now, a higher level of Yira is what he calls true Yiras Hashem is the following. True Yiras Hashem means So why do I have, maybe the word fear is not so good, you might want to call it respect or an awe, is because a person recognizes their entire existence depends on Kadosh Baruch Hu. And again, in terms of using mashal for human beings, someone who supports me in every way, so I have a certain reverence, a certain respect for that person. When did Klal Yisrael experience this level of fear? So he says, think about it. You know, you got to think about it this way. How many people were in the Midbar? 3 million about, people say. 600,000 men between the age of 20 and 60. Double that for women, that's 1.2 million. You got the Kindle 120. You got the people over 60. I'm not an actuary. But between 2 and 3 million. Okay? Now, you ever see people do Hoshanas in a shul? How many people is that? 50, 100? How long does it take to get around the Bima? They can't even get around the Bima for one Hoshana. 100 people. That's right, 2.5 million crossing the Yam Suf. So basically, lady says, it must have taken a few hours. A few hours, so quite, right? We know what the day was, at the end of Pesach, the streets of Pesach, but it wasn't 5 minutes. So here they are, and no one said it was a brook. They're walking through, right? There's walls of water all around them. You're walking through, there's a wall, hundreds of feet high, water, going up in that water. And you're walking through. 1 second, Kadosh Baruch Hu pulls the plug, your history. Maybe your feeling is, if you go through the car wash, you know, if you have that feeling, something goes wrong here, then it's the mystery. That's nothing, right? Here you're imagining walls of water coming from out of this. But basically he says, at Kriyas Yamsu, that's when they had the Yimba Shem Moshe Abdel, when Moshe Abdel said to them, go, you'll see Hashem's miracles, Hashem's Nisim. That's what it meant to Kriyas Yamsu. That's what said. They reached that level in Mitzrayim. They saw the Onish. Why did they see the Onish? Because they saw how the Mitzrayim were punished. They saw the Nisim of Hashem. But here they saw how their lives depended on Kriyas Baruch Hu. They knew Shem Moshe Abdel. He says there's another level. This level is not always reached because it's called Yiras HaRomos. The Muslims speak a lot about this. Yiras HaRomos means that you're afraid of because of Hashem's godless. Not that I will get punished, and not that it depends on it. Just you appreciate the awesome power of God. A marshal to a human being would be if a big Rosh Hashiva walk into this room, doesn't even know who I am. I have no relation with him. But if you were doing something, you know, it wasn't so good, if you and your chavrusa were talking, you'd learn right away. Why? He doesn't even know I am. He's like, wait, I'm going to tell my father, my mother, my wife, my brother, my chavrusa. Because he's a special holy person you want to act properly in front of. Them. If you were sitting in front of the President of the United States, so you want to make sure your tie is straight, your shirt's tucked up. Why? What's going to happen? He's going to do something to me. He's going to call the troops to bang down your house. And I think the God is going to do that now. Because he had a certain fear of that. So, So we put it all together tonight. We learned about Nisim. There's several categories of Nisim. Number one, we have Teva, we have nature every day. It's nothing miraculous, it seems, but it is miraculous how the world runs. Second category, we have hidden miracles that happen all the time. Kadosh Baruch Hu does, we don't see them, and they're there in nature. But they are happening. Nisim Nistarim, if you look carefully, you will see them. Very important. We have Nisim that are done for Tzorich. The Torah describes sometimes, and it can happen. Then we have Nisim that are the greatest level, that are a revelation of the Kadosh Baruch Hu of the Shekhinah. That's Lahamin Bashem, it's the Gilui Shekhinah. How do we relate this a little bit this week? We're coming up on the tightness of Asar B'Tavis. Any questions on anything we said? You can ask me any point. So on Asar B'Tavis, you know, Mishnah Berurah writes, I'm getting Hochus Pagnus, that the ikur of a fast day is not the fasting, but it's the Hesoros L'Tshuva. Everyone always asks, how's the fast? You know, now people are a little better, they say, you should have a meaningful fast, for those people say, this is great, terrific. Fast, so we say, you know what time it's going to end? 5:22? The best fast ever, I love it. So that's not supposed to be what you're saying. The fast is amazing. I'll do it next week again. So, it's supposed to be Hesoros L'Tshuva. Supposed to be that the day has an effect on a person. So let's try to put this in perspective here. The Mishnah says in Avos, and Perakim Mishnavav, there were 10 Nisim that happened to be Mikdash every day. Describes the fire came out of the Zayach, how the bread wasn't stale, no insects came in and came on the meat. 10 Nisim and Mikdash Mikdash every single day. Now, what gather, Nis, we describe tonight, do these Nisim fall into? So I would like to suggest, they're not all the same. I was telling somebody, well, the bread wasn't stale, it was about the revelation of Hashem's Shekhinah.
Right, that might be what Zohar. But certainly, fire coming down from Shemayim, feeling the presence of Kadosh Baruch Hu in the Beis HaMikdash, that's together Giyuei Shechina. That's together the Nisan that we spoke about, Mitzrayim, of Mayim and Har Sinai, that in the Beis HaMikdash, a person can come, that Makom in the world, so you can feel Hashem's presence more than any other. That's the gather of the Nisan Beis HaMikdash. Now we're in Golos. So in Golos, we're lacking these Nisan. We don't have any Gila Shechina. The Golos is called the Shechinta de Gelusa. That's the real Golos, right? Reason Golos is that we don't have based on Mikdash and we're not in Eretz Yisrael and we're living here. Although, you know, it could be worse. Hashem should protect us. But the real Golos is the exile of Hashem's Shechina, the presence of Hashem. So in Tzav B'Tevis, what are we commemorating? So there are three major events. Number one, the Torah was translated into Greek, Septuagint. So the Gemara Megillah describes how this occurred. They took 70 Chachamim, they put them in different rooms, and had them translate the Torah, and this happened. They were trying to show that the Torah was wrong, so they changed, you look at the Gemara there, all the same things, even though they were separate. Vayichulu, they changed it because it would look like that Hashem didn't finish in the 7 days, and it looked like they were plural. They changed all these things, it looked like Hashem and the Malachim did it together. But nevertheless, it was a tragedy, because Torah is now not as special and unique as it once was. The Torah is given to Klal Yisrael, and here it's translated to Greek. So they can do with what they want. Second thing is that Ezra, Sofer, and Nehemiah died, and by the way, didn't all happen on Tzav B'Tevis. It was 7th, and then 8th, and then Yud. But we're not going to fast 3 days. We fast on 1, on Yud. They died. Now, okay, well, there's been a lot of tzaddikim and Klal Yisrael. Why we observe those? You have to think of the time. Ezra, Sofer, is compared, the Gemara Baba Kama describes, puts in the same category as Moshe Rabbeinu. That as much Torah as Moshe Rabbeinu taught to Klal Yisrael, Ezra HaSofer was responsible for as well. Most of our current day practices in organized tefillah and mitzvos are Misakim Ezra. Jewish Klal Yisrael at that time had just come back to the second Beit HaMikdash. They were unfortunately in a very low spiritual state. Ezra was the one that brought Torah back. So when he died, that was a loss of that Torah. And then finally we know that in the first Beit HaMikdash, Nebuchadnezzar, the Babylonians put a Yerushalayim to siege state, surrounded the city, and that was the beginning of the Golos. So if you think about it, what these things show is a certain descent of lack of Gila Shechina, that the Torah is not as unique, that we lost one of the greatest expositors of Torah, and that then eventually the Golos. So when we're lacking based on Midrash, what we're dominating and praying for is that we should have these types of Nisim back, these Gila Shechina back. So this is a little bit of a theme of Hanukkah, Pashas Yigas, the Tzav B'Tevis, that we take away from Hanukkah, all the Zulahalo Nisim, and we take away from the Parsha these understandings of Nisim and the Parsha of Tevis. So we'll just end with the following thing. What month has a label on it that is bitter? Cheshvan. Mar Cheshvan. The why is Cheshvan called Mar Cheshvan? Because the calendar is blank, empty, nothing on it. So understand. Av is a lot worse than Cheshvan. Tevis. No, you don't tell them the Tevis. Shvat, we say Tubishvat, something. Tevis, Tavar, Tevis, Tamuz also. So Cheshvan called Mar Cheshvan, Tevis, Tamuz and Av are not called Mar. Mar Av, Mar Tamuz, Mar Tevis. What's with that? I'm going to say in this week the following thing. The Gemara Rosh Hashanah says that the days of the Tainesim will become Yom Tovim. And in fact, the beautiful Pshat, Chassam Sofer mentions that on Tavar Tevis it's decided what will be of the Golos, of the Tisha B'Av, will be a Tisha B'Av this year. So it could be a happy day. That's why it could come out on Shabbos. Many suggest. We're going to say the slichos this week. Tashoch l'rvachas tomachamishi l'sofon osimcha tov v'yitom asiri. That we should turn these days into days of sofon osimcha. It's not mar. It's only mar if we leave it this way and call us. But if we do what we have to do and we go ahead and we do our Baruch Hashem properly, then we don't have to have any more tenesim and golos anymore. Hashem should help us. We should be in time. Always in yonim. And have a day of suffering.